I set the boundaries of the ocean vast, carved out the mountains from the distant past, molded a man from the miry clay, breathed in him life, but he went astray. I own the cattle on a thousand hills. I write the music for the whippoorwills. Control the planets with their rocks and rills, but give you freedom to use your own will. I hold the waters in my mighty hand, spread out the heavens with a single span, make all creation tremble at my voice, but my own sons come to me by choice. I own the cattle on a thousand hills. I write the music for the whippoorwills. Control the planets with their rocks and rills, but give you freedom to use your own will. Even the oxen know the master's stall, and sheep will recognize the shepherd's call. I could demand your love, I own you twice, but only willing love is worth the price. I own the cattle on a thousand hills. I write the music for the whippoorwills. Control the planets with their rocks and rills, but give you freedom to use your own will. And if you want me to, I'll make you whole. I'll only do it though if you say so. I'll never force you, for I love you so. I give you freedom, is it yes or no? I give you freedom, is it yes or no? I give you freedom, is it yes or no?
Amen. Scott, thank you. Don't forget, he's got a CD. That song is on there. If you enjoy Brother Scott singing, you'd get that CD. It'd be a blessing to you. Be having your vehicle or at home. Acts 18 tonight, Acts chapter 18. If you'll find that passage in your New Testament, Acts chapter 18. We're going to read beginning, when you get there, we're going to read beginning in verse number 7. So we'll pick it up in the middle of Paul's stay in the city of Corinth. Chapter 18 and verse 7. If you found that and you're able to stand in honor of God's word, would you join me? And I'll begin reading in verse 7. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. I want to speak on our responsibility to this city. This city. You'll see what he said at the, God said to Paul at the end of verse 10, "I have much people in this city." Father, we love you. We thank you tonight for the good service. God, thank you for Father's Day and the good men that are members at Faith Baptist and those that have visited with us today. I pray, oh God, that you'll give us, Lord, determination, as we heard this morning, to be men of faith, men of example, and men of discipline. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to live for you and guide those that are in our care. I thank you, God, for your word. I pray that you'll use it tonight in our midst. For it to do much good, we need your Spirit's power on us, both speaker and listener. Help us now. May your will be accomplished. We ask in Christ's name and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's been very encouraging to see the number of people out for visiting and soul winning this summer. Maybe the numbers are the same, but because four scheduled times during the week have been reduced to three, maybe it seems like more, but nevertheless, it has certainly been a blessing. And the bigger blessing than just the number of people going out is the number of salvation decisions that are taking place as people are being witnessed to. One such ministry, of course, with the Bible handouts. I'm convinced that God is not done working in the city of Bourbonnais, not done working in the cities of Bradley and Kankakee and St. Anne and Watseka and Moments and other places all around us. We must believe this by faith, folks, that God's not done. He's not sent his son back yet, so I don't think he's done seeing people saved. Many passages of scripture would encourage us in this matter, but I want to look at this one tonight, and maybe I hope it will encourage those of us who are going out and maybe challenge some of those of you who are not. So the text here in the setting, Paul is on his second missionary journey. He is now in the city of Corinth. When he arrived in Corinth, he met Aquila and Priscilla, and he stayed with them at the beginning. And then he went to the synagogue every Sabbath and reasoned with the Jews in the synagogue about Christ. They opposed his message about Jesus, and so he turned his attention to the Gentiles. Paul went to the house where Justus lived. It was right next to the synagogue, and there in Justus's house, I guess, Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, trusted in Christ. Now think about that. He left the synagogue, but later on, the chief ruler of the synagogue came to Christ for salvation. And the Bible says that many of the other Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. That's an important order. Those words are in an important, you cannot take those words out of order. Paul asked the church in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? They won't believe, folks, if they don't hear. He said in verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing. So the Corinthian people needed to hear the clear message of Christ, and then many of them would be willing to believe, and after believing, they followed the Lord in baptism, not before they believed, but after. And the order is very clear here in chapter 18 and verse number 8. Hearing, believed, and baptized. Now, this was no doubt a delight to the apostle's heart because he came to Corinth from Athens. His stay in Athens was not fruitful. His stay in Athens was kind of frustrating. It was full of debate with the philosophers and the intellectuals who were in the city of Athens. When he got to Corinth, Paul just preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And the simple gospel message of Christ's death, Christ's burial, and Christ's resurrection was enough for them. They heard, they believed, and they were baptized. Now, we must realize that not everybody we talk to, not every house we go to is going to be receptive to the gospel message. Not everybody's going to. There are many who want to argue and debate. Argue and debate about the gospel. And we will find out, as Paul did in Athens, that debating and arguing leads to very little fruit. Just leads to very little fruit. Simply presenting the gospel of Jesus is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. That's it, folks. God came to Paul in the city of Corinth with a specific message about his responsibility in that city. He visited him, the Bible says, in a night vision. And I want to show you three things that God said to Paul. First of all, he said, fear not. Fear not. Look at the beginning of verse number 9 there, where he says, he spake to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid. Now, it's well known the emotion or element of fear is one of the biggest hindrances to being a gospel witness. Many of God's people are simply afraid to speak up about Christ in front of a lost person. I want to say this, that hindrance is not new. It's been around since the time of Christ. I draw your attention, you won't turn there, John chapter 20, verse number 19, where the Bible says, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. This was after the resurrection and before the day of Pentecost. And the disciples were full of fear because of the hatred that many of the Jewish leaders had for Jesus. And so these disciples, followers of Christ, they were huddled up. They were paralyzed by fear. And after 10 days of praying and waiting on God's promise of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, those same disciples, including more than them, because the number was about 120, that 120 were filled with the Spirit. And they went to the streets of Jerusalem and they began to boldly proclaim the gospel. Overcoming their fear and boldly speaking about Christ was not the result of a pep rally. It was really not the result of some wonderful devotion at a soul-winning meeting. Nothing wrong with those. And Brother Allen gives tremendous devotions, both on Saturday and throughout the week. Their boldness, people, was the result of the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, this is the same crowd, many of them, in Acts chapter 4, that were on the streets in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Well, they were filled on the day of Pentecost, and they were filled again here in Acts chapter 4. Now, you know what that is? That is clear evidence that the filling of the power of the Holy Spirit is different than the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. You're talking about two different things altogether, the indwelling and the infilling. And some people do not believe in the filling of the power of the Holy Spirit, but I'm telling you, the Bible teaches such a thing. There's such a thing as the filling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit never leaves us, praise God. That's there to stay. You're born to God, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But the power of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit comes and goes. Now, people have funny ideas about it. It's not that we get more of the Holy Spirit in order to have his power. The Holy Spirit is an unseen person. You can't get more of a person. He's in you. The Holy Spirit has more of us to use and to speak through. And the more the Spirit of God has of us, the bolder we will be to speak of Christ to others. And church, that is our need as we go to the streets of the cities in this area. I told Brother Allen at the beginning of the summer that, you know, when we started to see the good number of folks that were involved in going out, I said, you know, I hope and pray that God uses people this summer to see people come to Christ. Because I really believe that's why you come. I don't think you come just to fill time. I believe you come because you believe, first of all, it's you're commanded to go. It's what Jesus told us to do. And you want to go out and you'd like to lead somebody to Christ. You'd like to see somebody come to salvation. And I want to tell you something, folks. Listen, it's important to know the Bible verses that are good to use in witnessing to someone about Christ. It's good to have icebreakers for conversation purposes. And Brother Allen has gone through this through the years and helping us. And he not only deals with the Bible verses, he gives us good approach questions and how to present ourselves in an orderly manner at the door. It's good to know all of those things. It's good to have all of that down. But the great need as we go out is the power of the Holy Spirit that will give us boldness to witness, boldness to overcome fear, boldness to speak to the person about Jesus Christ. And it's not a pep rally. And it's not just head knowledge. It's the infilling power of the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will use the Word of God to convict and speak to the heart of a person. Now, this is a little bit different matter than personal soul winning. But I remember when one of my earliest recollections of really seeing the power of God come and work on hearts took place when I was youth pastor out in Iowa. And every winter for several years, we had a snow camp. We didn't go skiing, we just went tubing. We went up to northeast Iowa, up by Lansing and that part up there, and they call that part of Iowa Little Switzerland because it's really just, there's cliffs and it just really, it's a pretty, pretty area. And we used to go up there and just, I can't remember now, we'd go up on a Friday, come back on a Saturday, maybe go up on a Thursday, and we'd just tube. We'd have tubing and we'd have preaching. And for several years, Brother Brown struggled with sending kids off to Bible college. I'm not sure why. I don't know that I can verbalize why he struggled with sending our church kids and our youth group off to Bible college, but he just did. And nobody really went to Bible college anywhere. And then his heart began to change about that matter. And he said, Terry, he said, we got to do something and ask God to help us see some of these young people go off to Bible college to serve the Lord. And so I got that in my mind. He told me about that. I figured, okay, pastor talked to me about it. It must be something he's concerned about. So God gave me a message for snow camp that year that I believe that had some truth in it that might speak to the heart of the young people about that. And it wasn't just our youth group. It was another group, I think the group from Marshalltown, Guy Kahn, would go with us. And so we had a good crowd of teenagers there. And we spent the afternoon tubing, and then we went in for supper, and it was time, you know, getting ready for the service. And I remember I told Ron Nebel, he was my helper, I said, Ron, I'm not going to eat. I'm going to go. And I went, I got the room where I was staying by myself, and I spent one solid hour in prayer. One solid hour in prayer. Asking God's Spirit's power to be on that service. A solid hour. And went in there, and we had some singing and had some fun like we were doing youth services. And then we got to the preaching. And folks, all I'm going to tell you is God came. God came. And God came in that service. And young people were not more than just moved emotionally. They made some solid decisions. And from that January, later on, then they graduated, and then we began to see young people from the youth group go off to Bible college. And Joe Brown has done a wonderful job out there now, succeeding his dad, and they're sending a lot of young people out to ministry, and not even just to ministry, to be full-time Christians. But I'm telling you, the power of God's Spirit makes a difference. You and I can only speak to ears. We can only speak to ears. It's all we can do. But God's Spirit can penetrate the heart. And you've got the right message, and you've got the right Bible, you've got the right program, if you want to call it that. You've got the right approach, you got the right verses. But please, 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 make sure that before you come, whether it's Tuesday morning, Tuesday evening, Saturday, I'm preaching to myself, all of us, we need to remember that the greatest tool, if you want to call it that, to overcoming fear in presenting the gospel is the filling of the power of the Holy Ghost. So God told Paul, fear not. Fear not, okay? Number two, he told Paul, fail not. Fail not. Now look at verse number 9, okay? So he says to them there, he says, fear not. Then he says, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Now, notice the double reference to speaking. He said, but speak and hold not thy peace. What's God saying? God's saying to Paul, Paul, speak and keep on speaking. Don't ever stop speaking. Just keep on speaking. Don't tire of speaking about Christ, but if you tire, just keep on speaking anyway. That's what he's saying. Now, I know according to some, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. But people, we should not expect any different results than what Paul experienced in his ministry. And I draw your attention to his time in Rome when he was under house arrest. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 28 that many people came to the house where he was staying, and listen to this, from morning to evening, He expounded and he testified and he persuaded them concerning Jesus from morning to evening. What was the result? Verse 24. And some believe, not, no, it's in Acts 28. I'm sorry, everybody's looking down. It's not here. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. So after an entire day of teaching and expounding and persuading, and that word is used in Acts 28, persuade. I don't want to twist anybody's arm. I get that, folks. But you know what? Sometimes we could use a little bit of persuasion. It's not it's not anti-Bible. Now, you could go too far. You can go way too far. But Paul persuaded people. And after an entire day of expounding and testifying and persuading them concerning Christ, some of those who listened believed, and some of those who listened believed not. It has always been that way, so it is today. So are we insane to keep on speaking with the same results? Are we better witnesses than Paul? Do we deserve better results than Paul? No. What is insanity is to keep going out to witness with no thought of the fullness of the Holy Spirit on us, no thought of asking for his power, no thought of asking for his leadership. That's what's insanity. Just because I have the Romans Road and I have an approach question, it's not enough. It takes the leadership and the guidance and the fullness of the Spirit of God. That's what it takes. What is insanity is to keep going with no intention of verbally speaking to someone about Christ and then being discouraged with the results. Can you imagine a vacuum cleaner salesman? Hello, ma'am. My name is Terry Angel. I'm selling Hoover vacuum cleaners here, and I got all kinds of models, and here's a nice little pamphlet about Hoover vacuums. And hey, if you read that pamphlet, maybe you'll want to buy a vacuum someday. Thank you for answering the door. God bless you. Bye-bye. How successful is that vacuum cleaner salesman going to be, folks? He's not going to get very far. I wonder sometimes if that's how we approach our soul winning at the door. You know, well, I'm from the church, and here's a nice little pamphlet to tell you how for sure you can go to heaven someday. Hope you. And by the way, I've been as guilty of that as anybody else in this room. A vacuum cleaner salesman's not going to sell many vacuums like that. And we're not in the selling business, but I want to tell you this very carefully. It takes words. It takes words to help people understand their need of Christ. Words. And I have Bible for that. It's in the book of Acts. It's chapter 10. We're not going there. You know the story. Cornelius is seeking after truth. And God sends Paul a vision. And the men come to Joppa. And not Paul, since Peter a vision, and the men come to Joppa to Peter, and here's what they say, and I'm quoting, it's not a complete quote, but all of what I'm about to say is quoted in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius the centurion was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. To hear words of thee. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Send men to Joppa. Now this is Simon, this is Peter giving his testimony. The next chapter. Send men to Joppa and call for Simon Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Words. Words. Look, we promote passing out tracts. That's a wonderful thing. But there comes a time when we got to get beyond handing people a track and use some words. That words that God can use. And that's what God told Paul here. Speak and keep on speaking. Keep and keep on speaking. And listen, this is what Peter said. As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. So Peter said, as I began to speak words, the Spirit of God came and he used the words that I was speaking to bring conviction and ultimately bring salvation. We must understand it is not in us. It is the power of the Spirit using the Word of God that brings conviction and desire to trust Christ, but we must use words that the Holy Spirit can empower. Peter didn't just stand there and smile at him. Hand him a piece of paper. And if that's all that the person at the door will let us do, amen. But sometimes, folks, we need to push the envelope a little bit with people at the door. Not be obtrusive and out of sorts, but just push a little bit. Hey, that's got some great verses on how to know for sure you're going to heaven someday. You know, the Bible's a big book. Covers a lot of topics. But there are some specific verses that tell a person how they can know for sure they're going to heaven. Anybody ever showed you those verses? Anybody read those verses to you? Yeah, I'm just saying, look, you got to take it as far as you can without being obnoxious. Obnoxious. But Peter used words. You know, we're asking God. We've been asking God in our prayer meeting, asking God to lead the people of Faith Baptist Church this summer to the right houses, to the right people, to cross paths with folks who might be interested in listening to the gospel. Amen. When Scott and I went a couple of weeks ago to visit a lady that's shut in here from this church, the shut in, we went to visit. I made an effort. I don't know that I got everybody, but I got, and by the way, Molly Rigsby is having a procedure this coming Wednesday, I believe it is, that's going to do some tests on her to see how things are going. She's not doing well. She's losing weight and not doing well. So I forgot to ask you to pray for her. I tried to see as many of these elderly people who are in, and I went to see them and spent some time with them who are shut in. And Scott went with me to see one such person. And we were at the door, and they came outside to talk to us. And so we were talking on the porch there, and just down a short ways, I noticed two ladies sitting out in chairs just talking. And as real as I'm talking to you right now, but in a still small voice in my heart that Don Oswardy preached about, the Spirit of God said, talk to them. Now, at that point in time, I got a decision to make. I either obey or I don't. I either obey or I make excuse. And there's a hundred excuses to make. We finished. By the time we finished, one of the ladies had gone in. The other lady was sitting there, Audrey. I started talking with Audrey. She had a broken back, I believe it was. And so this other lady was a home healthcare helper. And I was talking to Audrey and kind of making a little progress about the presenting the plan of salvation. And she was listening and kind of responding. And then Teresa came out, the home helper. And that woman was open as open could be. And she began to listen. And I'm telling you, they locked in. And when it was all said and done, they trusted Christ as their Savior right there on the doorstep. I'm not setting myself up as, I'm saying it too many times, I've handed a gospel tract and walked away. And I'm for tracts. But there comes a time when there needs to be words. Words. And this is what God told Paul. Fail not. You speak and keep on speaking. Everyone who goes out to witness wants to return with rejoicing over a soul being snatched from the burning. Just because we don't return that way every time we go out, we should not fail to speak. Speak and keep on speaking. So fear not, fail not. Last of all, Paul told God told Paul, forget not. Forget not. Look at verse number 10. So he tells him not to be afraid. Fear not. In verse 9, he tells him to fail not to speak. And then he says in verse 10, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Paul was reminded of this important truth. Christ would send his presence with him. For I am with thee. This is what Jesus had promised those that he spoke to in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always. You talk about a silent partner. Friend, Jesus is the most helpful, productive, efficient, silent partner that you could ever have go with you. And he goes with people who go with the intention of trying to witness to somebody about Christ. Those who have faithfully gone witnessing have some unbelievable stories to tell about the silent partner. Silent partners are really silent when you look over at them and they're asleep. They're really silent unless they start snoring. Or silent partners fall out of a chair at the worst possible time, which is what my son did on a visit one time. Some who are supposed to be silent, who are supposed to be silent, are not. And you have to almost say, would you please be quiet? Quit speaking. And by the way, there's times when the silent partner can be a big help. And some of you might remember Patricia, who came here in a wheelchair from Manteno. Tom Fitzgerald brought her in. And Ray and I went to see her, and I tried to witness to Patricia. She was a Catholic, and I pretty much had given up, not making any progress. And Ray said, you know, he spoke up, and he said, I used to be a Catholic. I was raised Roman Catholic. He began to talk about the stations of the cross and being confirmed and catechism and all this stuff. All of a sudden, she's engaged. And he said, you know what? I had a lot of knowledge about Christ up here, but I had nothing here. I would have died and gone to hell. She said, I don't want to die and go to hell. And it just reopened the door again. Started through the plan of salvation. And Patricia used to come sit back here in her wheelchair. Y'all remember her? Passed away some couple years ago. So I'm not dissing the silent partner. But the best silent partner anybody that ever takes soul winning is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes with us when we go. So here was the promise. Here was the, don't forget this. Christ's presence is going to go with you. And then I love the second thing that God reminded Paul is at the end of verse number 10. I have much people in this city. Now people, there had already been a harvest of souls in Corinth. Verse 8, many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. But God said, Paul, there's more. There's more. I have much people in this city. I do not believe for a minute that some in the city were chosen for salvation while others were not. I'm shocked that Scott sang that song tonight. I believe that God's foreknowledge cannot be denied. And of course, he knew exactly who and how many others in Corinth would believe, because you can't take God's foreknowledge away from him, folks. He knows everything from beginning to end. End to beginning. What he is just saying to Paul is, there are more to reach. This business of, I have chosen more people in this city to be saved. That's not what he said. What he said was, I have much people in this city. There are more to reach. I read a lesson by a well-known Bible teacher recently. And he was warning preachers about giving people assurance of their salvation when they're not even saved. He's warning about that. This is why he said, though, which I have no problem with that, but this is why he said they were not saved. They're not saved. I quote him. Because they never came through the path of true repentance and true confession of Jesus as Lord to the degree of self-denial and self-sacrifice and self-submission. I don't even know what that means. Was anybody here saved after you went down the path of true repentance and true confession of Jesus as Lord to the degree of self-denial and self-sacrifice and self-submission? Then he went on to say about eternal life, quote, God has chosen from before the foundation of the world to whom he will give it, and all to whom he has chosen to give it, he will give it. So the part of the crowd listening to Paul when he was under house arrest, they did not believe because they were not chosen to believe. They did not believe because they chose not to believe. There's a big difference in that, isn't there? I take you to the last invitation in the Bible. In Revelation 22 and verse number 17, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's the last invitation in the Bible. I have much people in this city. Those words haunt me to a degree. I ask myself the question, does God have more people in these cities around us? They have more people in Bourbonnais? More people in Kankakee, Bradley, St. Anne, Moments, Wadsika, wherever we go? If so, and it takes hearing words to help them believe, then church, we got to stay on course with the main thing. And the main thing is spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to fear not, we have to fail not, and we have to forget not. Now, transparently, I told you some time ago, maybe it was on a Wednesday night, not on a Sunday, but during Revival Fires Conference, God took me to the woodshed. To the woodshed. I needed to renew myself to this matter of being out there and speaking up about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be much more on point to fear not, fail not, and forget not. And I plan to speak and keep on speaking with the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God on my words. And God has helped me to do that since the Revival Fires Conference. And we have a lot of people, even you teenagers, that are going out right now. I hope that this week, well, you'll be at the youth conference, but the next time you go out, I hope you go out with a heart to have the opportunity to tell somebody words. Amen. Words. Words. I know some people won't let us get that far. I understand that. But when the door is open and the opportunity presents itself, God help us. God help us to speak words. And see the Holy Ghost put them under conviction and draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's our responsibility to this city. Speak and keep on speaking. Fear not, fail not, forget not. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help us this summer. I thank you for the interest and the obedience of people who, Lord, are faithful to go. I thank you for new blood out on the streets witnessing. I thank you, God, for your power that helps us as we go. And Lord, I pray that we would continue to take this matter very seriously. And Father, when we come on Tuesday, evening, morning, when we go on Saturday, and even other times during the week, when you give us an opportunity, help us to speak words that the Holy Spirit can use to bring conviction of sin and draw people to Christ. God bless our soul winning this summer. Thank you for the month of May and into June here. Lord, it's been wonderful. And we've seen the people come and some follow the Lord in baptism and lined up for discipleship lessons and growing in grace, hopefully. Lord, we turn that to you, ask you to help us to get them there. But Father, please use our church. Please use every lady that goes out, every man, every young person. And use the tracts that we give out. But Lord, help us to push it a little bit and be anxious to give people words about salvation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder tonight if maybe the Spirit of God slipped by where you were sitting and said, you know what? Maybe a little bit more prayer, a bit more earnestness, overcoming fear through the power of the Holy Spirit. Fear not, fail not. If you go and you don't see somebody saved, well, go try again and try again and keep on speaking. And don't forget, Christ will go with you because there's more people in this city. If you're not saved tonight, I would invite you to come and trust Christ. If God spoke to your heart tonight, the altar will be open. Let's stand together as the music begins, the invitation opens. The Spirit of God use his word tonight. You know, some who are just, you're just afraid to go, just come on and go with us. We'll get you with somebody You can be that silent partner along with Christ. But just don't be disobedient to the command to share the gospel with Christ, of Christ with people. While we wait, it takes words.